Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Only Podcast. I am your co-host, Austin Smith, joined as always by your other co-host, John Kirby. You can find us at ACSmith06 and at John_Kirby on Twitter. And as always, follow the mothership. Today is, it's going to be Tuesday, June 30th. And John, should we make the 29th a national holiday, a regional holiday, a school-specific holiday? Or what do you think?
Just when I think 2020 can't be any stupider, it comes back and totally redeems itself.
I mean, wow.
If you haven't heard.
Yeah, go ahead.
The number one player in high school, not just for his class, but in all high schools across the world. Think about that. Across the world. Just decided to take his talents to East Lansing to bounce the ball with Tom Izzo and the crew. Imani Bates.
Pretty insane story. I mean, I think that the craziest part about this whole thing, I mean, and we will get into who Imani is, where he comes from, what this whole thing means, but it just came out of absolutely nowhere. And that was... I don't know. We were talking about it before. That's kind of the best way to do it. But before we dive into like what that is, what the difference is kind of between him and other recruits who may or may not have chosen to come to Michigan State, who is Imani Bates? John, like you said, number one overall high school prospect, regardless of class, which is insane considering he's a sophomore, which means he has two full classes of high school students ahead of him. He's 15 years old, he's 15 years old. So that in and of itself kind of tells you who he is. He's referred to kind of universally as a quote-unquote generational talent. He was just on the cover of Sports Illustrated last year saying he's next in line behind Magic, Michael, LeBron, and Imani. He's on that tier. We're talking about a guy that wasn't even recruited by some of the Blue Bloods because they thought he'll never step foot on a college campus. Whether that turns out to be true or not, we'll talk about. But just to talk about how big of a recruit this is, his company is, I mean, if there's such a thing as rare air, he is in it. John, you did a look into some of the composite ratings, and he's unmatched pretty much.
So if you go through composite rankings, which is all of the recruiting services mashed together, you know, they're always going to disagree on a lot of stuff, but rarely do all of them agree that someone is essentially a sure thing or flawless as a recruit, as a prospect. And actually in the history of composite ranking, which goes all the way back to 2003, there have only been five prospects who have ever earned a 1.0000 ranking. That's like getting a 10 in the Olympics on a gymnastics routine
from the French judge.
Just like doesn't happen. And those five players are from farthest away in time to nearest: LeBron James, Dwight Howard, Greg Oden, Andrew Wiggins, and RJ Barrett. Now, those names, I'm sure if you're a basketball head, you're very familiar with all of them. Not just lottery picks, I believe all were top. Let's see.
Four of them were number one.
Yeah.
RJ Barrett's the lone non-number one overall pick, and he went all the way down at number three.
Austin, quick question. Surely RJ Barrett went to a Final Four, though, right?
You know, I just don't happen to recall. I think they actually officially wiped off his postseason from the record books there at Duke. So there's really, we'll never know.
Okay. Well, I think it's just incredible. You know, not only is he in the air with these five folks, but I think let's also take an even further step back. It's truly unfair for the comparisons and the things. And you've heard us talk about this kid for 2 years now on this podcast. I can't believe today actually happened. But it's going to be unfair that the comparisons and the expectations from him. It's just maybe it's because they're deserved. And when you talk about Magic Johnson as a transcendent individual that changed the sport, and he went to Michigan State, and we all get to be associated with that, The fact that there is a kid that is even in the same conversation as a guy like Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan as the type of talent that can change a sport. And he's coming to Michigan State, or at the very least has said if he does go to college, he would only come to East Lansing. I'm not sure if Austin and I can do justice to just how insane that is and how lucky we are to be Spartans.
Yeah, and I think a lot of what people want to get into is, the common thing is he'll never step foot on a college campus. Like, that's entirely possible. But the fact of the matter is, if he's going to, it's going to be in East Lansing. The likelihood of him doing, and we'll get into the scenarios in a bit, but that alone, like, if he decides, you know what, I'm going to go to the pros one way or the other, I want to go, however he might do it, you just kind of tip your cap and so, you move on.
Yeah, I mean, and he's always going to get into the scenarios for everybody. But before we do, I think it's important for this might be one of those days when we look back and let's say everything's a best case scenario and Imani comes to Michigan State and great things happen and he goes to the NBA and continues to do great things. There might be a moment of, with a where were you day, like, right, where were you when Imani Bates declared to go to Michigan State? I mean, Austin, I think I've only called you twice in my life, like, for panic reasons.
And yep.
The first was Mel Tucker, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And that was a panic call. And today was a panic call. You were on a work call. I was undeterred, did not care. I actually think I might have asked you to hang up. But
yeah, it was an intense moment. And then during that whole thing, I mean, I'll never forget it. Well, first of all, hopefully the answer for everyone, where were you, is home, first and foremost.
Sure.
Second of all, my internet just so happened to be out, which happens to power my cable. I didn't even get to watch any of it. I learned of this. Oh, and I was also taking a work call during that. So I was flipping between Twitter and the Google Meet meeting that I had on my phone. And before I even found anything out, fully expecting him to just announce the building of Ipsy Prep and all that cool stuff. You texted me just all caps, like, he's actually here. Oh my God. Or something to that effect. And I didn't even really believe it. Like, I don't think it'll really sink in just because of how far we are away from it actually, time-wise happening. But I think, like you said, a really important thing that MSU can take away from this, kind of basically with the exception of very few scenarios, is that, Tom Izzo did a good enough job to win over a once-in-a-generation type of talent. And Tom is no stranger to trying. He's no stranger for shooting for the big fish, and there have been plenty that he has come up short on. And John, we were talking about it a little bit before, but this scenario, no matter how it plays out, whether he had announced he's going somewhere else, G League, overseas, he's not making any decision, I think in some ways this was the greatest recruiting experience of all time. Like, I wish they were all like this, where I had absolutely no idea and could not prepare myself or walk through any scenarios. And I just was taken completely unawares. And in the middle of a Monday, I was just like, oh, great, we just got the best player in high school.
Well, let's unpack that a little bit, because not only did this just happen seemingly out of nowhere, there was no buildup. There was no, press conference decision. It just happened. And like, for some reason, I think I love that for multiple reasons. One, the kid is made a decision and he's done with it and he's ready to move on and keep getting better. Awesome. Two, we only had to panic for 30 minutes. Like, there was only full panic of 30 minutes of like, oh my God, this is happening. Where is he going to go? What could he possibly be announcing? Instead of 30 months of it, like, it just was right. Like, hey, I'm doing it, and you know, it's happening. And it was like in The Office. Michael Scott walks out of his office yelling, this is happening.
Oh, my God.
It is not a drill. I texted, this is not a drill, to everyone in my phone that cares about Michigan State basketball.
Which is most of the people in your phone.
Well, yeah. But basically, like, because if I had received a text that was like, Amani Bates is declaring today, I would be like, no, he's not, because it wasn't a national story. And so prefacing it with, this is not a drill.
I felt like the response I got from my friends that, you know, I've got a couple different threads that announced, and when it announced, people are like, oh, really? Like, what? I don't think it's really the gravity of just how good of a player this is. I think because of like the weird non-sports coronavirus world that we're living in, like, it's not really registering to people just how big of a deal this has the potential to be.
So you mentioned Tom Izzo's been the bridesmaid a few times, but I think you have to fail a lot of times to know how to do it right and get a win. And certainly a lot of things played in Michigan State's favor. The fact that another generational talent like Magic Johnson was born in Michigan.
Right.
But beyond that, you know, you do have to, there's a lot that can be learned in huge projects that ultimately don't pan out the way you want to. And, you know, we listed off the biggest misses in Tom Izzo's career. And we debated whether we should talk about those here, but I think we should, because you have to appreciate this recruiting win. It's appreciated because of all the losses that have come before.
Absolutely. And, you know, in no particular order, although I'm going to try and rank these. So we listed out eight here. I think the one that hurt the least was probably, well, 7 and 8 are Trey Jones and Jahlil Okafor. Like, those are huge bummers. But
they were a package deal, though. So that was why it was also
package deal, one from Chicago, one from, you know, Wisconsin.
Minneapolis.
Yeah, right. Or Minneapolis, excuse me. You know, so it wasn't shocking, but it was a bummer when they ended up going to Duke. And those would have been real nice players to have on your team. I think
And then we lost to them in the Final Four.
Well, exactly. Then you go turn around and lose to them. So that sucked. The next one for me is the package of Tyler Ulis and Devin Booker. Tyler Ulis being the one above that. Just because of what, because we were in that, Ulis was like the guy for the longest time. Everyone's like, oh yeah, he's going to go to Michigan State. He's a 4-star, da 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 da. And then Kentucky rolls around and just steals him at the last second. And then, you know, he and Devin Booker are like best friends. There's a lot of thought that Devin Booker could have ended up in East Lansing as well. I think after that, for me,
let's talk about Tyler Ulis really quick. Because if there's any joy in that recruitment, is that the only major program to offer him was Iowa, and we offered and he decommitted like 24 hours later.
Yeah, that's true. that's a good point.
But then got Iowa'd by Kentucky.
Yep, got big boy super, super hard. I think after that, to be honest with you, I actually might have even revised this list because we have Vernon Carey on here, and I'm not sure, like, had just because of the way this year went, I think he is always going to be kind of a question mark. And I might even put him behind Booker and Ulis just because of what they could have done. But he's in that same category just because, like, had he been a part of this year's team, like, to either be able to pair with or cycle out him and Xavier Tillman, like, year's team went through a lot of up and downs. But, man, we saw it firsthand. Vernon Carey just put the work on us. And to have him as another weapon would have, you know, some of those valleys that MSU went through this year, you probably would have not gone as deep into those valleys. And then they were heating up for a run. And, you know, but I think just because of the way the year ended, he probably has to be a little further down.
Time out. You're going to notice a lot of the guys we listed put the work on Michigan State.
Oh, my God. Literally all five of the players, I think, that we've listed so far. So I'm pretty sure we played that Booker Ulis team.
Oh, man. Keep going.
Another literally all these guys did. I am going to put Josh Jackson third here. You may remember he had a chance to be a part of, you know, quote unquote, the class with Miles and Josh, and with Miles, Josh, Cassius, and who am I missing?
Nick Ward.
Yeah. He would have been that fifth member and was ranked the most highly of all of them. Now he's not having, you know, I would say to this point, Miles Bridges is having a little better professional career than Josh, but he was a hell of a player at Kansas. And if you remember, put the work on Michigan State in the second round of the tournament that year. And cool. Just dusted us, just destroyed MSU too. So another, yeah, this is a horrible trend. Like, not only did we not get these, I didn't even think about that. We didn't, not only did we not get them, they just destroyed us too. Second, I think for me is going to be Caleb Swanigan, just because he would have fit so well, because he was in that same class with Deontay Davis. And that front court would have been, that was the year so he would have been on that team that lost to Middle Tennessee State, if I recall correctly.
Well, and not just that, like Swanigan, a little different than the rest of these guys in that he wasn't, I don't want to say as dominant because he was, but not as maybe
a clear player of the year
been done as these guys.
Yeah.
But he was a two and done, wasn't he? Michigan State kid, it felt like.
Yeah, I remember being very excited about getting him just because of how well he complimented Deontay Davis, and just he would have really completed that team that could have used him. And that's the funny thing about literally all of these players, literally every one of these guys, they were all supposed to be like the piece that made the team that national championship. And you can see here, this is like eight swings and misses that like, oh, that one extra guy that makes you from great to borderline unbeatable.
Well, there's that. And I think Caleb is so high for on our list is because he actually committed to Michigan.
Because he was a Spartan, right.
Which is even somehow worse than just being a finalist. So
right. And he beat the brakes off MSU too. Well, I think everybody going to Purdue also, I think, makes it really bad.
Because, that's why it hurt. Yeah.
Because we were used to doing it the other way around. First of all. And second of all, again, put the absolute work on Michigan State. It wasn't just like a guy at Purdue. He was the best player in the Big Ten. Yeah, star. First team All-American. I think his clanked three in the last game that MSU played against him, though, was triply sweet because of everything.
Yeah, I never want to root against kids, you know, and I certainly was rooting against him only because he was wearing a Purdue uniform, not because he made a different decision. But yeah, there was some glory to his clank.
That felt a little extra special. And then the worst one, I'm genuinely not sure if it's going to be possible in the Tom Izzo era to break my heart the way Jabari Parker broke my heart. I mean, it was, you talk about all these, again, you can go through the list here and talk about how each of these guys was supposed to be that final piece. There's no better example than Jabari Parker. He was supposed to be a part of the team that ended up trotting out the starting five of, I believe it was Appling, Gary Harris, Denzel Valentine, Brandon Dawson, and Adrian Payne. Mm-hmm. So you would have swapped out, you would have put Denzel Valentine on the bench and replaced him with Jabari Parker. And Jabari Parker's whole thing was that it's not only that he didn't commit to Michigan State after MSU was, you know, quote unquote, the leader forever, talked about a 30-month, you know, recruitment. It felt like longer than that. Mm-hmm. It's not only that, but he did it to go to Duke, which just sucks because it's Duke. And then on top of that, he did it because he said he didn't want to take Brandon Dawson's position, even though he wouldn't have played that position, and then went to Duke and played a worse position in center. So like it just was so brutal because he was that top two kid, maybe even number one. I think he was number one that year. Like
no,
it was, so, was he not number one?
No, he was not. And here's why that class. And this is why the Amani Bates, the fact that he's number one in the class, like Jabari was fourth in his class behind Andrew Wiggins, Julius Randle, Aaron Gordon.
Well,
and like, yeah, and then behind him were the Harrison twins at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Like, this class was pretty
sad. That's a loaded class, yeah. And we're going to learn more about Imani's class, but this Jabari just felt like that guess couldn't have been a better fit. So, again, well, when he lost to Lehigh, and that was the final, like, salt in the wound where I wasn't even – I mean, I was happy because Duke lost, but it was – I almost – didn't want them to lose there so that at least it was kind of like, okay, at least he went and was like had success somewhere in a way, because it just seems like such a waste. Like it's like, okay, so you just went and threw a year of your career away. Well, you just threw your college career away and you could have been part of something big.
You're totally right. And I think the other reason why the Jabari thing was so big was because Tom Izzo really hadn't, I guess if you want to call it, like, big game hunted since right. Delvon Rowe, you know, and this in that before Jabari. And this was a guy that he had been recruiting since, I think they had even said, fifth grade or something. It's just insane, right? Like, and you know, I'm not going to say it was the wrong decision, but, like, that's what he felt like he had to do to get him. And the same thing, he did the same thing with Imani Bates. Like, right. You know, that didn't change. Delvon, if people forget, if he had his knees didn't disintegrate, was a five-star. And
for good reason, too, man. If you watch some of his high school tape, that kid was a freak athlete.
Well, and not just that, but you know, a top five all-time recruit at Michigan State. So the fact that, like, so Jabari broke our hearts because, like, Tom was getting back into, I got to get guys that can make the NBA. Like, that is the new way that I'm going to sustain my program. Like, NBA success is all that matters. Kids care more about NBA success or as much about that as they do about banners. Okay. Like, that's when the mindset changed. And he still couldn't quite, like, land the five star. He was struggling, yeah. and frankly didn't land the five star until Deonta Davis.
Jabari, I believe, if I'm recalling this correctly, is the oldest recruit of all of these guys. Like, I think he was before any of these.
Yeah, he was the first. And like,
right.
And Tom kept big game hunting because, again, it was so important. And on the flip side, he was developing guys that were making in the NBA and succeeding, which is great and important, but he also started to see that the game was shifting and one and done was a part of it. And maybe not the only way to go, like only recruiting one and done's like Coach Cal was doing at Kentucky or right. Coach K began to do, but it had to be a mix, you know, like winning with all seniors. It certainly is possible. And Michigan State and Wisconsin gave it a hell of a try, but it never got people over the top. You had to have a mix of, you know, the one transcendent freshman and veterans, and the combination is really what kind of got you there.
Right. It just happens so rarely. Like that, like you said, that full team of experienced vets, like outweighing, because the one and done teams, like historically, like people forget, Coach Cal has one championship at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I know that's a ridiculous thing to be like, oh, he only has one championship, but with the way that they are covered and the way that he recruits, to be honest, you probably would expect more than one ring. I mean, he's been absolutely to the finals. I know more than that. But Coach K obviously has had more success. But you don't get that super senior laden team getting to the top that often. It almost always is a team with a mix of, you know, maybe not one young star, but a good young player mixed with some veteran talent that's really mature and complements well. And like,
And so Tom went and started to pick those off. You saw that with a Gary Harris. You saw right. that with a Adrian Payne.
Even Brandon Dawson. Brandon Dawson was five stars. Example.
Yep. And it got them a little bit closer. But now we're looking at a kid.
Well, and then you miss, like, you even get into the next wave of the Josh Langfords and sure. the Miles Bridges. I mean, Jaren Jackson was yeah. a top, what, 7 to 10, 12 recruit? Yeah. Like,
sure.
Deonta Davis. Deonta Davis, huge.
But like, let's, I want to recenter just how, as we're talking about freshmen walking onto campus and changing a team, Amani Bates did that as a freshman in high school. And I want to set the table for everybody. He played for, we'll get into where he's playing for next year, but he played for a high school that has had zero, any type of basketball history. They've never won the state championship. They've never really competed, to be frank. And he came in as a freshman. And he came in as a freshman to a varsity team, a program that went 11-10 the year before. And he walked in at 14 years old, and they won the Class A state championship, the highest class in Michigan. As a freshman, he was the only difference on that team between 11-10 and state champion at the highest level. So I need everyone to like put themselves into the shoes of when you were in high school and when you were a freshman. If you can remember that far back, I have a hard time remembering that too. But walking into your high school and how much smaller you were than everyone, this kid walks in and made a Class A high school basketball program from a 500 team to the best in the state at 14 years old. And like, it's never happened before, at least in the state of Michigan. It's just unbelievable how much better he is than not just his peers, but people 2-3 years his senior. And so I don't really think I don't think we're overstating his talent. Because that's just an insane thing. Like, I'm not sure if anyone will truly be able to do
I mean, it's hard to say, like, from a high school ranks, he's accomplished everything you can accomplish. He is every bit of the recruit that, this is a big statement, but like LeBron James was this big of a recruit. But he is, from a brand perspective, from a sheer talent perspective, I think maybe a more accurate comparison is probably Kevin Durant. I mean, certainly when you watch him play, he's not. I think the difference between LeBron was LeBron physically was just such a man amongst boys. Yeah. Like, Imani Bates is definitely still slender, like for sure needs to put muscle on. If you asked him to do a bench press like they did with Kevin Durant, he might not be able to do a single one because he's all arms and legs and he's very wiry. But he is that level. You remember Kevin Durant, Michigan State played and beat Kevin Durant at Texas. But he came in and he was, I don't know if he was player of the year, but he was number two pick in the draft, like was superstar. Yeah. You're talking about that same type of impact. That same type of skill set. It's crazy.
But let's talk about that. Like LeBron James, and taking nothing away from him, because I'm not going to get into the greatest of all time conversation here, but the fact, like, he was a transcendent talent. Everyone knew he was going to be great. In high school, though, there was a little bit of this. Everyone had the fit kid in fifth grade that was just bigger than everybody.
Right.
And exactly. Was dominant at football and basketball. But it's because they hit their growth spurt 4 years before everybody else. And, like, frankly, they sucked at sports when high school rolled around. Right. So a lot of people were like, okay, LeBron's massive and great in high school, but once he gets to start playing men his size, how will he do? And obviously he's proven that he is one of the best.
He's overachieved on the most hype a player has ever had, which is insane.
I think the difference here is that Amani is dominating kids 2 to 3 years his senior the last 2 years, and is not physically imposing his will on them. Granted, he's 6'9", and that allows him to get shots off that he may not be able to get off at bigger, higher level of competition. But he's not bullying his way to the basket. You know, there is a difference between bullying your way to points, Zion Williams style, than being just so damn good that you
can drop. It's skill. It's skill. Like, if you have not, like, if you're just familiar with him and you don't really know that much about his game, you're just like, oh, wow, this kid's supposed to be good. Legitimately go watch his highlight film. It's unbelievable what he can do. Like, he's got every shot from everywhere on the court. He legitimately looks like a young Kevin Durant. Like, it's not even hyperbole. It's an extremely similar skill set. He's got great handles. He seems to be very just like a student of the game, to use a really cheesy cliche, but he just understands how to play basketball. And the craziest part of all of it is he is 15 years old and he's already 6'9". I mean, you talk about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant historically does not want to be referred to as a 7-footer, but every NBA player pretty much unanimously agrees that he's 7 feet tall. And he is also the most skilled player, arguably, in the NBA. You're talking about an all-time great, and you're talking about Imani Bates, a player that eerily resembles that type of game. And obviously, very long ways to go. You don't want to get ahead of yourself, but truly, when it comes to hype, he's got more hype than Durant ever had. He has hype on a level with only probably LeBron and I think Andrew Wiggins was a marvel too. Like, he was a huge deal. But it's in recent memory.
Yeah, it's.
I can't think of anybody else.
You're right, and even putting Zion, other names.
Even Zion. Zion was
wasn't
not
the best player in his class.
He's gonna get. He wasn't the best player in his class at Duke. Like, people are going to get carried away and remember him as this freak just because he was just such an unstoppable force of nature. Like, give credit where it's due. But
no, Xavier's probably gonna have put that on lock.
Well, that's, you know, it's true. Kenny Goins might have something to say about that, but he deserves all of the praise and he deserved all of the hype and love, and he's gonna be a great NBA player, but he wasn't even this level of prospect. And you're talking about a guy who was already dominating at the next level as a 19-year-old. I mean, this it is truly hard to overstate how good he could be. And for that reason, and I think we should move into some scenarios here. For that reason, if he does end up at Michigan State, it is a remarkably large deal. So let's do a little best case, worst case here, John.
Okay, so as we jump into that, I think what we should do is ground everybody with his quote today. I think, you know, and we can go from there.
It's a good place to start.
He said, I'm not sure what the future may hold, but as I do know right now, I will be committing to Michigan State University. Now, a lot of people are going to chop that up and redo it into it however they want. And the fact of the matter is, unless something changes and no one is anticipating that it will, he probably will play in the green and white. And we'll talk about what those changes are here in a second. But the best case is clearly he comes to Michigan State. He brings a slew of kids that, you know, are on Michigan State's wish list, and they go win in Tom Izzo's second national championship. The worst case scenario, though. Yeah, sure. Hey, I like that. The worst case scenario, though, while not fun, candidly, is not that bad for me personally, if only because we just walked through all those sad things a little bit ago. Like, I'm ready to be hurt. It's okay. I'm like, so I'll let you take the worst case scenario.
Yeah. So I think there's a differentiator too here, because I think the worst case scenario is he decommits, goes pro. And at the end of the day, we can all, as Spartan fans, claim Imani Bates as a Spartan. He will rep MSU. It's very similar to LeBron James, where he is just all Ohio State all day.
Yeah.
Imani's from Michigan. He's literally created a prep school, which we'll talk about, in Michigan, so he didn't have to leave Michigan. Like, he is going to be, and, you know, hey, fingers crossed, maybe he ends up a Detroit Piston. Like, you know, this kid reps the state. And you're going to be able to claim him no matter what moving forward. Now, that's worst case scenario. Now, there is this version where there's this nightmare scenario where he decommits and then flips to another program. Now, I'm not even, honest to God, not even really considering that as a possibility, because, like I said, I think first and foremost, you already talked about it, John, Izzo's the only one that's been recruiting him, which is insane to me. Like, I can't believe nobody else just place the call, just talk to him, see what he's up to, like, ask him what he had for dinner. Like, no one else is recruiting him.
But you know what, Austin? That's called playing the long game, because
right.
He had been playing – Tom Izzo had been playing this long game, as we mentioned, since this kid before his growth spurt, okay? Like, and maybe that's crazy, but also what we've learned with Tom Izzo is the fact that the guys that we mentioned that he recruited and didn't win, he still talks to those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has nothing to gain. He has nothing to gain from that, right? But like he genuinely makes these bonds with people, which is a talent. And the ones we mentioned didn't go their way, but think of the dozens that did, and mm-hmm. how all of those Spartans are still feeling as much of the Michigan State program as when they took to the floor in Breslin.
I do think that there's something to that. Like, yeah. I think that this is maybe the manifestation of all of those good NBA players at this point, and all the old heads, like all the original Flintstones, everybody. You don't have dissenters. Like, and I don't know if that's just guys that choose not to talk, but like college basketball, it's not like you have, you know, 100 guys on every team like college football. Like, you have a really tight-knit group. And if you had dissenters, they would be, you'd know who they are, and yep. they'd be loud about it. And Tom Izzo is a fiery enough person. He's had enough public blow-ups that, you know, if people really took issue with him, there would be one person that would come out and say it sure. at this point. And he's been coaching for 20 plus years, and no one is more than that, way longer than that. But like, he doesn't have those dissenters. And I think that this is the manifestation of that culture he's created, that adopting some of the one and dones, that getting kids in the NBA. I mean, you've got Jaren Jackson and Miles Bridges and Denzel Valentine and all these other great players in the NBA that are out here repping Michigan State and coming back for games and being loyal to the state of Michigan. And like Imani, you know, to be a part of that from such a young age, I think this is all of that coming to roost. And I just can't imagine him choosing to like leave for a bigger program. And I think part of this, like the reason why, the more I think about it, it's either Michigan State or the pros, and more likely Michigan State, is because I think you have to truly think about the level of star that this kid is, because I think he transcends brand.
Yep.
I think he is so good. It's like Zion. If Zion had just stuck in South Carolina where he's from and gone to Clemson, Clemson would have been a massive brand. If he had stuck in South Carolina would have been incredible and gotten all this notoriety because of him. It wouldn't have affected Zion Williamson. It would have affected he affects the school. The school doesn't affect him. And now Michigan State, obviously a better example in terms of near or at the blue blood level, but Imani Bates can go wherever the hell he wants and be the guy and be the star and build his brand anywhere. Ben Simmons did it at LSU. Didn't even make the tournament, was still the number one prospect, hands down star in the NBA. And Imani Bates is much better.
Well, and let's continue on that. Ben Simmons got LSU on TV every week.
He sure did.
For a team that was not an NCAA tournament team. They were bad. And he was still ESPN, and anyone who had a TV contract that could flex was like, let's get this guy on TV. Well, it's the same thing here. You know, there are very few programs where Imani Bates could have gone to that could help expand his brand. You know, you mentioned Zion could have gone to Clemson in South Carolina, but they would be drafting off of Zion's brand, not exactly. The other way around. Zion went to Duke, and Duke's relationship with ESPN helped Zion blow it up. Now, to give Zion credit, a lot of ESPN chose to play most of their games because he was on the team. But it works both ways, right? Like, Ben Simmons, I didn't want to watch LSU play because they sucked, and frankly, like, everyone else was holding him back, and so it wasn't really that great of an experience. There are very few programs Imani Bates could have gone to that, you know, puts his brand on an international global scale that will have 24/7 coverage in the way that Zion did. You know, like Ben Simmons, we watched him once a week, but we didn't have 24/7 coverage of him. Zion, we had 24/7 coverage and every game was on ESPN. So like, there's the difference for me. And Michigan State's one of the few programs that maybe isn't at Duke's level. I mean, I can be honest and admit that. But the fact that Imani Bates has no interest in going anywhere outside of Michigan. And the proof of that is not just in that he committed to Michigan State. It's that he's chosen to not go to Oak Hill, Monteverde, right. La Lumiere, insert, you know, prep school here. He and his dad are creating their own. And that's more proof that he has no interest in going anywhere but staying in the Mitten State. So if he were to choose another program outside of Michigan State, there's really only one. And Michigan kind of dropped the ball. They did nothing. Juwan right. Howard, the big, you know, recruit coach, going to change everything. Monty Bates had no interest in that. And so take that for what it is. And there's nowhere to go.
Like, right. I think that's the big thing, too, is that when you look at the other two options for where he could go, like when you think about elite prospects, you think they would go one of three other places, all of them some variation of professional. One is G League. We saw Isaiah Todd do it. We saw a couple other guys. Jalen Green has already chose to do it. He was the number one recruit in this year's class. Go make $500,000 plus have the ability to make endorsements. Yeah, so that's one option. Yep, he's already come out and said that's good for certain players. It's a lot of money. I don't plan on doing that. And to me, that makes total sense. His brand is going to benefit more from being on, you know, non-games twice a week, every single week, being the ESPN game of the week every single week at a school like Michigan State. So that one's kind of out for me. Overseas, well, there's another part to the G League thing that I want to come back to, John. Well, but the overseas part to me, again, he literally started a prep school with his dad in Michigan. I don't think overseas is going to be something that's really that appealing to him. And then finally,
factor in, you know, political or topical or not, yep. There's a pandemic, and frankly, our country isn't handling it very well. And and I know that by the time he would go overseas is maybe in, you know, 12 months from now, but who's to say that we are in what situation we're going to be in other countries, right. We're already seeing it have different travel restrictions on other countries. Essentially, going overseas to play basketball today is way different than the opportunity it was even 6 months ago.
It's not a given. And again, he's not going to benefit brand wise from doing that. I mean, we all know who LaMelo Ball is, but it's not like he was on TV every night despite playing professionally. I mean, Brandon Jennings did it way back in the day. And like, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a given. And so the final.
It was the right decision for them.
Right. But, exactly. But I don't think it's the right decision here.
But Imani's different because for two reasons. One, those guys went out and rightfully wanted to make money off of their talents. And that's awesome. And that makes sense. The thing that's different today is that in 12 months, there will be name, image, and likeness legislature. And if you're unfamiliar, that means that college athletes will begin to have the opportunity to make money off of themselves. Basically be given all of the advantages any other student at the university could make off their name, image, and likeness. For example, being in a band and making money off of that, or 100 other different reasons. Now they can get sponsored and endorsed by big brands that you've heard of, potentially, when he would be a student at Michigan State. So throw out the base salary that those Lonzo Balls and Brandon Jennings were making overseas. Mm-hmm. That's nothing. That's negligible in comparison to the amount of dollars that brands like Nike, Gatorade, you know, yep. Wheaties, are going to want to throw at this kid to get in on him early. Like, a base salary of $500,000 is awesome. A $10 million endorsement right. deal, that base salary doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, so now it's all about I think that takes away – it really, again, I think because of the caliber of prospect that he is, it takes away that appeal for him. And I think the final option that a lot of people are looking at being like, oh, he'll never play college ball because he will just go straight to the pros. It's not that simple for a couple different reasons. So first of all, him going to the G League or to the pros is contingent upon him reclassifying after this year and becoming a member of the 2021 class. You'll see him listed as a 2022 recruit for the whole, you know, pretty much every list you see, because that is technically when he graduated as a senior. But if he reclassifies to 2021, which is his dad even came out today and said he'd be on pace to do, cleared and everything, he would then be able to go to, you know, choose whatever route he wants. He'll be a graduate of high school. However, he is young for his grade, yeah, and or will be very young for that point in time. At the point in time where he has, where he would be able to enter the NBA draft or choose to go to the G League, he would not be 18 years old if he chose to reclassify. So he can't go to either of those options until or unless he decides to go play somewhere between him technically after his junior year of high school. Now, there are only two options on the board now, and that is stay in high school for your senior year, which he could do, or go to college. And now all the things we've just painted out here point to the fact that Michigan State is probably the only college he's going to choose to go to. And he's basically going to be left with the option of, do I just stay in high school and beat up on kids forever, postpone, now really not postponing it to the NBA because he'd go to the NBA kind of no matter that 2022 draft, no matter what, no matter where he is. But in 2021, do I stay in high school and just do more of the same thing that I've done for the last 3 years? Or do I go to Michigan State, play against better talent, potentially win a national championship, play with great players, and start making money and building my brand and the awareness of my brand? When you compare the two, and do all of that an hour and a half from home, mm-hmm, it doesn't seem to me like there's much of a choice. So when everyone's like, he'll never play a day in the NBA. Oh, and by the way, on top of that, all of that is also contingent upon the NBA changing their collective bargaining agreement to allow kids to not be a year removed from high school.
So that's
which is an entirely different issue. And that's honestly probably the biggest sticking point here, because and you know what's wild about all of this is that COVID-19 is, mm-hmm, probably the biggest factor keeping that CBA from getting done and including this one and done stuff in it. Not necessarily getting the deal done. I think they'll get a deal done, but given all of the maneuvering they've just done, the priorities of current players, quite frankly, and the Titan timeline now, given everything they've just done in the last few months,
yep,
I do not think the one and done is going to be very high on anybody's list of priorities. Adam Silver's come out and said as much. Yep. So all of those factors, what's kind of wild to me is that, like, all of those factors have been pretty readily available to college coaches for a while.
They knew.
And yet no one's picking up the phone. Now, is that just a sign of them knowing it was in the bag for MSU?
No,
or is
I'm just not sure. So I'll comment on
that. It's crazy. It's crazy how, after laying out the scenario, like, I think before today I was like, wouldn't that be fun? But he'll end up doing something else. But now that he's committed, like, you know, verbally committed, and seeing everything else, that's all the other factors. Like, to me now, it feels like it's much more likely than not that he does end up in East Lansing, which is insane.
Yeah, we're kind of talking out and, like, realizing together. Like, we had already written out why this was, like, it's like writing out the argument and then, like, making the argument are different things. And we're, like, both having this oh my God moment. But I will comment on something you just said, which is really smart. The fact COVID-19 changed everything, it was probably higher on the list for the negotiated CBA, but now there are obvious way more important things that they are negotiating and talking about, right? So, to be fair to the Coach Cals, the Coach Ks, the Roy Williams, the Bill Selfs, the Sean Millers of the world, until recently, I think a lot of people just assumed there was going to be a renegotiated NBA CBA.
Right.
Like, right.
Yeah, true.
And so I get it. Because, to be fair, those guys are also out recruiting a lot of other really great talented kids too. There are a ton of other talented kids, 5-star kids, not at Imani's level, but that can win them championships. And they chose to put their time and energy against that because
you can't blame them for that.
Of course.
Like, truly you can't.
Of course, because it's just calculated, right? Like, you just make everyone makes calculated bets. And they thought, okay, there's probably a more than 50% chance this kid never plays in college, period. And if he does, he seems like Tom's kid. So, like, how much time do I really want to put against this? You know, like, I get that, you know, and I still think you should have picked up the phone, but
I still would have spent the 20 minutes on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, like,
just being honest.
Hey, that's if we're being real. But I appreciate Coach K, Roy, Cal, Self, you know, letting us have one once in a while.
Yeah, that was really nice of them. And of all the ones to let us have, I'm very happy that it's
it makes those other L's work, you know, easier to swallow.
If he actually steps up and, like, again, I'm going to caveat this until the very end because he's just that good, and I'm not going to put all the eggs in this basket.
Sure.
But I've got a couple in there, but it's
two or three eggs are in the basket.
Multiple eggs. But this one of all of them, like, I don't know, it's the best one you could have asked for. Like, he actually steps on campus, the first time I see him in actual green and white, that's the day it's going to be very, 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 very real. And it's going to be just bonanza. And I'm not going to miss a single minute of the whole season because this is the type of kid that it's appointment television.
Well, that's and we just talked about it. Like, that's where the nation chooses to watch his every move because it's worth watching. Like, that's how good he is, and he's going to be a Spartan, and I just can't believe I'm saying that. But I want to give a quick shout out because we got a lot of emergency questions from our emergency pod, and @onecoolnate, always good for a lot of questions, and we touched on it a minute, but I wanted to go back to it. Would it be actually a possibility for Amani to hedge his bets, not reclassify, and just chill out in high school as we get past COVID and everything else? And I hear that. For me, the answer is absolutely not. Because, and I've made this analogy on the pod in pods past, but this is very much like Katie Ledecky, the Olympian swimmer, and I've said it before, but it's like she went and won gold medals at the Olympics and then had to go home and swim her senior year in high school. It's stupid. Like, even at the state championship, she lapped people in the state championship heats. That's, like, so far past insane. And that's where Amani is at, right? So it actually benefits him 0% to continue playing against the John Kirby and Austin Smiths of the world in high school basketball. Because, frankly, he's more likely to get hurt playing us than to improve. So when you step up and you start to play with kids on Michigan State's roster, and we'll get into who might be on that in a moment, but you got guys that are, when you're talking about half of the guys on that team have a legit gripe to be in the NBA, that's a pretty big improvement from playing against John Kirby and Austin Smith. It's a small jump, but it's a jump. So, I'm 100% out on him doing anything to do with high school basketball his senior year. It's just not happening because he can't get better. And that's he is so focused on not even Michigan State. This is one step on his journey to mega greatness, right?
Yeah.
Like, we are but a stepping stone, and we are so lucky to be graced. So,
yeah, it's just not practically the correct decision for him to do. Like, the other thing is, like, if you're worried about travel versus one or the other, like, if you're worried that, oh, he'd stay there just to play because college might not be back to travel and all this stuff because of COVID, like, they're not going to play high school games either. Like, not like that's necessarily going to change. I think if this kid is really everything he's cracked up to be, and, like, from a personality standpoint, and the things he's doing are what they appear to be, then I don't think there is another choice. I think the choice he just made his choice. I think the only way, honest to God, now at this point, like the only way he doesn't end up coming to Michigan State is if the NBA changes those rules and yep. allows even him some type of exception to go. And at that point in time, we all tip our caps and we say, hey, Imani, thanks for the great Monday in the middle of quarantine. That helped a lot. And you get to just tout him when he's the number one pick, because he's going to be the number one pick, whatever.
Yeah, I'd still buy him. And we all still buy an Imani Bates jersey, and Michigan State jersey. Like we all
absolutely.
We actually, you know what? We hang the jersey in the rafters. Like we just
yeah. And it says 6/29/20 on it.
It was a good day.
We just hope he ends up in Memphis, or with Jaren, or we hope he ends up in Detroit with the Pistons,
or Charlotte with Miles. Like the
sure.
Who can't wait for Imani versus Giannis? Like I'm like unwell thinking about the possibilities right now because I'm so far ahead of myself. But Austin, before I forget, you know, we did mention that he and his dad were creating an academy, and I wanted to explain to folks why he might be doing that instead of continuing to play at Ypsilanti Lincoln, the public school. He and his dad are starting a prep academy, and that might sound crazy, but it's not too far of a leap from when they created his AAU team, which is called Bates Academy, I think. Can't remember. But anyway, you know, long story short, they created a prep academy, and a lot of people are like, well, how does that work? You know, like, how is that going to work in the MHSAA? Folks, they're not playing Michigan high school teams. There's That's the point. They're better than that. It's a waste of time for them to play the John Kirby's and Austin Smiths. It's stupid. And so Imani and his dad have made an all-star roster. And one of one cool Nate's questions that I'm going to address here, because it's related, is are other players more likely less to commit with Imani Bates, now a verbal at Michigan State? The answer is probably yeah, much more likely. And his prep academy roster includes some names that I'm going to point out that matter. Jaden Akins, we've talked about him in the past. He's now going to play for Ypsi Prep. He is a Michigan State crystal ball lean, a four-star from Farmington. We've talked about him before, probably the second best player in his class. So yeah, like that, he becomes a much more likely Michigan State player. Javon Hanna, a Mount Clemens kid. He has 6 Power 5 offers, has MSU interest. Sean Phillips, a 4-star, number 45 overall in the 2022 class, Ohio native. He has MSU interest. Orlando Lovejoy has MSU interest from Romulus, Michigan. Like Dylan Hunter, 4-star from Georgia, moving to come play here, has 6 Power 6 offers already. Like, these are guys that could come and play at Michigan State that wouldn't be overwhelmed.
I think it's worth pointing out, too, that a lot of the guys you just named are 2022 guys that are going to be in the same boat as Bates, where they can reclassify and join his class. You might not only get kids that are excited from the 2021 class, like Akins, but you've got some of these other dudes that might either A, jump up, or B, decide, hey, he played at Michigan State, I could play at Michigan State. But I think Akins, and then the other name that jumps out at me from 2021 is Max Christie, who is the shooting guard, son of Doug Christie, for those old heads like us that remember Doug Christie. Sweet shooter, just the biggest pest in the world, played for the Kings for a long time. His son apparently is just an absolutely incredible shooter, number 11. Rank in his class. That's the type of complementary teammate that Imani Bates is likely to bring with him. Now, Christie's been considered an MSU kind of a lean or a high interest. You gotta think that landing someone like Imani Bates will make that a very attractive scenario. And
exactly,
you know, you're not talking about a one-man class here, but you have the chance to add some big names, and we know that there's a lot of other good players that'll be on the roster. Pierre Brooks, Malik Hall, potentially Aaron Henry, Rocket Watts, Joey Hauser, although they're 50-50, Maddie Sissoko. It's going to be a good roster no matter what happens.
We'll break that down to later date, right. I think.
One specific shout out, though. I think we need to give one specific shout out before we wrap. And that is to Gabe Brown.
Mm.
Gabe Brown is super tight with him on Ebates. Mm-hmm. We've seen them record IG videos together. They're always hooping together. They're from the same-ish area because, you know, Gabe is from Belleville, right down the street. He gets a major assist on this because I think, listen, Gabe can be a frustrating player, but he is the type of enigmatic, like a personality that can help you win and get over the top in a recruitment like this. And he's magnetic. That's exactly right. I mean, and he was the first guy that, it's funny, I read a little bit today. You saw him hanging out with Imani and his dad after Michigan State won the Big Ten championship this year. You'd always see them together in the locker room after games. Those guys are boys, and that's not a coincidence that they might end up playing together here in a couple of years. So special shout out to our boy Bubba before we put a bow on this one.
Bubba's the unsung hero here. I mean, but back to that family culture, like, roll your eyes ad nauseum. Every program says they have it. They don't.
Right.
It's
not the same way.
It's different. It's different. Like, on my grave, it's different today at Michigan State. And we know that because Imani Bates is going out of his way to find photos of him and Rocket Watts playing AAU ball to wish him happy birthday. Like, that's not a thing that someone does unless they're like, I want to be a part of this. Like, and it's, like you said, it's Gabe Brown, but it's Tum-Tum Nairn, who's on the roster and recruiting the hell out of folks and making them feel like, yeah, I could be here. This place feels right. It's Cassius Winston, who is recruiting Imani just as hard, even though Cassius won't be here. Like, this... It's bigger than basketball, and it's cool just to be associated. And like, today is a win for Michigan State, and nothing, no matter what happens after this, can take away from that. And just, it's just a testament to the program that Tom's built.
I agree. And hey, listen, at the end of the day, sometimes it helps to have a generational talent born in your backyard.
We've learned
sometimes.
That.
Sometimes it helps. Awesome. Well, John, this was fun. An unexpected pod, an unexpected commitment. But, maybe we could do a couple more of these. This would be great. I'd run this back.
Yeah, man. We have material now. We have.
That's right.
Between breaking down future rosters to the fact that football may or may not happen, we got stuff to talk about now. We're ready to wrap.
It's almost July, so we'll be back more often. But guys, as always, thanks for sticking with us. For John, this is Austin, and we will catch you next time.
See you.